Today's reading is from the book of Ecclesiastes and then the Gospel of Luke. The first passage is Ecclesiastes 4, verse 6. Then Jesus said to them, "Watch out, guard yourself against all kinds of greed. After all, one's life isn't determined by one's possessions, even when someone is very wealthy." The second passage is Luke 12, 15 to 21. Then he told them a parable. A certain rich man's land produced a bountiful crop. He said to himself, "What will I do? I have no place to store my harvest." Then he thought, "Here's what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. That's where I'll store all my grain and goods. I'll say to myself, 'You have stored up plenty of goods, enough for several years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and enjoy yourself.' But God said to him, 'Fool, tonight you will die. Now who will get the things you have prepared for yourself?' This is the way it will be for those who hoard things for themselves and aren't rich toward God." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Maybe seated. So we're kicking off a brand new series today. We wrapped up the Broadway series last month, and we had a great time with that. We're kind of shifting gears a little bit, and we're looking at what it means to be unburdened, and that's the name of it. And specifically, unburdened from stress, financial stress, from the pressure to always have more, and really discovering, hopefully, or rediscovering, or being reminded that we find freedom when we trust God first and foremost. So I want to begin with the understanding that the less is more. You probably heard this before. It's important because much of what we learn growing up is more is better, isn't it, right? If you have one, then two is always better, right? It's good, right? If you have $1, then having $2 is good. If you got one car, two cars is better, usually. One of something, more of it is always better. If you got one kid, then four are better, right? Maybe not always, but more often than not it is. But more is always better, usually. Now, I can remember back in junior high, some friends and I, our parents, they took us to the movies. They dropped us off. Back then, you would drop your kids off, and we'd go to the movies. And so we went to the movies. No idea. I can't remember what it was. But I do remember this. Didn't get popcorn that day. I got sprees. You remember what sprees are? I got a picture of them. Don't know what they look like. These little round candies. And you would get them in a roll like that. And so I was like, "Oh, I'm going to get a roll of sprees." But, if one is good, then two are. So I got two rolls of sprees. And so we're sitting there. And, man, I just opened them one after another. I mean, I got through one roll of sprees before the movie even started. Movie starts, got another roll, going through another roll of sprees. By the time we got to the end of the movie, though, the sprees had become spew because when I got to the bathroom, I made the most colorful spew, exactly. That you've ever seen. So, yeah, sometimes more is not always better, is it? So, we got a theme verse for this series, and it's this verse from Ecclesiastes I want to share with you. It says this: "Better is one handful of tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind." All right, so I want us to learn this. We're going to learn some Ecclesiastes. So, let's say it together. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. All right, better is one than two. Why is one better than two? Because if I have one handful, that means what? I have a free hand. So if I have one handful, then and somebody needs some help, well, I got a hand to help. If I have one handful and somebody needs some comfort, then I have another hand to offer that. If I have one handful, all always have one free for maybe somebody else. So better is one handful of tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Another way to say it is, better is less of what doesn't matter so I can experience more of what does. Better is less of what doesn't matter so I can experience more of what does. And what matters is different for all of us, right? It's different for all of us, what matters. I was with one parishioner some years ago, and they had a terminal illness, and they knew that, and so they knew they had, you know, limited time. And so all of a sudden, it became very clear to them what really mattered. What really matters? It's a question probably we should all ask ourselves. You know, what really matters to us? Because if I were to ask you to list, okay, what really matters, what's most important, I can probably name some of the things that would be on your list, right? Family probably might end up on the list. What really matters, what's most important? Maybe friends. Our kids, your health. Your health might be on the list. Hopefully faith is on there somewhere. But let me tell you what's never on the list. Or at least, I don't think on most people's list. And that is, almost no one puts on their list, most important is how much I have in my bank account. Right? Most important is the countertops I finally got in the kitchen. Most important is the house, the car that I have, always long for. Most important is how many views I got on my TikTok video, right? Those things do not make the list. And when you kind of make a list and you look at that, what we realize is what is most important really might not be, because if you looked at how we spend our time, what we recognize is that most of our lives is spent pursuing on things that aren't actually on that list. We have this tendency to think, whatever I don't have is what I need. But the biblical truth goes back to this, I think, this understanding that this principle of less is more. Better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. So less is more. So what does that look like, in our lives? Well, for some of us, it might be simply just, we cut back, right? I remember one of the first parsonages I lived in, and no kidding, it was a two-bedroom, one-bathroom parsonage. So parsonage was the home provided by the church. So I lived in, it was two bedrooms and one bathroom. Thank goodness I was single, all right? Because that was just, would be like, okay, all right, here's the bunk room, people, all y'all in one room. And but it worked out. It was great. It was great for me. Each bedroom had a tiny little closet, which was perfect for me because I could put in my one suit, my one jacket, my about three or four, hang-up shirts or whatever, and I could fill that closet, and it was full. That was fine. If I had been married, I don't know where Mindy would have put her stuff. No. Okay? But that was plenty. But these days, most of our homes have lots of closets, don't they? Right? We have walk-in closets, don't we? Some people have walk-around closets. 8 laps around your closet equals a mile, right? I've seen closets where you go in and there are multiple levels to the closet. Even seen where you can go in, you can push a button, and winter clothes come down from the ceiling, and the summer clothes go back. Have you seen that? Some of those, y'all don't watch enough TV, I guess. I don't know. Some of those, I won the lottery dream home kind of stuff. I don't know. So, we have these huge, huge closets, and then we go in there, and we stand, and we look around, and we say, I don't have anything to wear. We have garages, but how many of us have actually cars in a garage? Why do we not have our cars in the garages? They're filled, right? In my neighborhood, we all have garages, and I can drive around my neighborhood, and there, nobody, almost no one has their car in a garage. Now, we can get one, we get a car in our garage, because then we couldn't get the other cars in the driveway if we didn't have one in the garage, but we can still get one. One in there. But you know, most of us, our garages are full. If we go in our attics, our attics are full. Some of us, we have these things called the self-storage unit, right? We pay somebody to store our stuff somewhere other than where we are. Stuff that we probably don't even use. Stuff that we probably haven't even seen in a long time. Stuff that we don't even know is there, right? But we pay every month for our stuff to be there. So that's why every now and then I think we have to remember, less is more, and sometimes we just need to cut back. It's the principle that Jesus taught. You know, Jesus was teaching, and someone from the crowd says to him, "Hey, tell my brother to divide his inheritance with me." And Jesus says, "Man, who appointed me as judge or referee between you and your brother?" And he goes on to say, "Watch out, guard yourself against all kinds of greed. After all, one's life isn't determined by one's possessions, even when someone is very wealthy." And we know that, right? We know it here. We just don't know it here. Sometimes we just don't live it out that way. We know that the most meaningful things at the end of our life is not our stuff. But we hold on to that. But being unburdened is, again, living into this less is more principle. Now, I realize for some of us, that's a hard thing to do. Maybe, you know, we didn't grow up with a lot, or maybe, you know, our parents didn't grow up with a lot. And so we have this habit of conserving and saving because you never know, you might need it, that kind of stuff. We don't want to waste all that kind of things. Sometimes we don't want to cut back. We don't want to clear out or cut back because, you know, it means a lot to us. You know, that was my grandmother's Tupperware set. We can't get rid of that. Right? Or, I have to admit this, you know, I got that trophy in the third grade for finishing eighth in the sack race. I can't get rid of that. And so we have this tendency to hold on to things, don't we? So we have to acknowledge it. I understand that. But again, you know, our life does not, you know, consist in the abundance of our stuff. Better is one handful with tranquility than what? Two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. All right? And I think sometimes, you know, we walk in our closets and we can't find anything to wear. Why? Because we have too many choices, don't we? It's like when you go on... then maybe this happens to you. Oh, let's watch a movie tonight. And so you bring up Netflix, and what do? You spend 30 minutes, 45 minutes trying to figure out what movie you want to watch, right? It's like, oh, that's like a good one. But you know what? There might be a better one. So let's just keep looking and looking and looking and looking and find, you know. Why? Because there's so many choices. You know, you had three stations. If there was a movie on, you watched it because that was all you had. You didn't have a choice, so you did. Now we have so many choices, right? So maybe, and here's, you know, exercise for you maybe. So go to that closet and go through it. And look, anything you haven't worn in a year and it still fits, now I understand, okay? Some of us are like, hey, one day I'm going to be that size again, so I'm keeping those things. Anyway. But go through your closet. Anything that still fits that you haven't worn in a year, maybe that's time to give it away, right? Or do it, maybe do it this way. You know, you get one, you give one. So you get a new shirt, you give away a shirt. Get a new pair of pants, you give away a pair of pants. You get a new dress, you give away a new dress. You know, you get new underwear, you maybe not do that, okay? But maybe get one, give one. Or just go through your house maybe this week and try to give 100 things away. For some of you, that's easy. So maybe we need to make it 500 things. But do that, right? And what happens is you begin to, you know, begin to be unburdened by all of this. Because I'll tell you, that your kids don't want your stuff. Okay? So go ahead and do it now. We don't want it. And my kids are not going to want my stuff. And so go ahead and do it now. And it might be, you know, it might bring a blessing to someone else. And it's not like, hey, we shouldn't have anything or we shouldn't have nice stuff. I'm not saying any of that. Sometimes maybe we should maybe just have a few really nice things rather than a lot of things that, you know, a lot of junk that just, you know, that just brings us toil. We have to take care of. Sometimes the richest people in the world aren't truly, you know, monetarily rich. They just are those who recognize that they just need the least. Right? So the richest people in the world are those, are not those who have the most, but those that recognize they just need the least. Try this. So maybe go on, maybe you've done this and you've experienced this, but if you go on a mission trip or if you've been on one, maybe you went on ASP or you go on YouthWorks. We're going back up to the mountains in a couple of weeks for Hurricane Helene recovery, and we still need some folks to do that. Maybe you've gone to Guatemala, or if we go again, you go there. Here's what happens most of the time. When you go, when you first get there, it's kind of a shock, isn't it? Man, I can't believe the devastation, or I can't believe people like live like this, or I can't believe they still have dirt floors, or I can't believe whatever. And so it's sort of that shock, and it sort of just kind of breaks your heart. Next day or two, you kind of get normalized to it, right? You kind of get used to it, in other words. And then you begin to notice things. This is something I noticed when we take youth groups on the Appalachian Service Project. We'd be up there in the hollers of Appalachia somewhere, and folks, they didn't have anything, at least compared to me. And yet, we'd be there working on a home, and the kids would be outside. They'd have no shoes on, whatever. They weren't in front of, they didn't have phones. They weren't in front of an Xbox, and yet they were loving life. They were loving life. And you know, go to a worship service, and it's amazing. Here's might be folks who lost everything or don't have anything compared, you know, as we would define it. And yet they worship like they have everything because they understand this otherworldly kind of contentment. And so if you go, that's a lot of times this is what happens. And you see that and you experience that and you come back, it's like, you know what? I'm going to do things differently. And so you come back and for a week or 2 weeks, yeah, you maybe do things differently, but then guess what? We get sucked right back into that, you know, culture and thinking that what we don't have is what we need. So we forget that principle of less is more. Here's the thing, we only get one chance to sort of get this right. Right? Life is short. Some of you have a better understanding of that than others of us. Your kids are grown, they're gone, they're old, whatever, they're older now, whatever, and you look back, it's like, wow, when did it go so fast? But here's the thing, our calling is too great, the opportunity's too vast, God's too good for us to waste, you know, waste it just on ourselves. And so as Ecclesiastes reminds us, you know, one handful, better than two, because that one, you know, that one handful leaves us for that other one. So it's better as one handful and a relationship with our children than two handfuls, and they've grown up and gone, and we wonder why it happened so fast. And we regret, oh man, I wish I had spent more time. Better as one handful and some really good friendships than the pursuit of just a career. Better is one handful and some family experiences like a vacation or whatever it might be, then two handfuls and no time for one another. Better is one handful, right, and the ability to make a difference in someone else's life than having two handfuls and being consumed with just yourself. Or maybe just, you know, our own little world, our own little family, whatever it might be. Better is one handful and the ability to give glory and praise to God, right, than two handfuls and the toil and chasing after the wind that it brings. Sometimes you need to remember, simply remember that less is more. Better is one handful with tranquility. What is it again? Let's say it again together. Better one handful of tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Let us pray. Gracious God, I just pray that through your Holy Spirit that you would work on our hearts, bring healing to our hearts, O Lord. Set us free from the relentless pursuit of more. May we pursue you first and foremost. Things that matter most to you, may they matter most to us as well. May we recognize that less really is more. Less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. So Lord, may we honor you in all that we do. For in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.